Hey, do me a favor, look to your left or your right, find someone, tell them that you are glad that they are here. Maybe find a way to encourage them, tell them they're looking good in the house of God. And it'll bless them and it'll buy me some time to say welcome to those of you joining us online. Thanks for making time to worship the Lord. Anywhere from Kansas to Kenya and all everywhere in between, people connecting with us to worship Jesus and grow in our faith together today. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do one way or the other, please turn or click to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll quickly touch on a scripture there and then we'll turn to Acts chapter 27. As I want to encourage you to be anchored to the hope that we have in Jesus. And the Lord's just reminding me about this. I believe that this is a day, this is an hour, this is a season. Maybe you could say that that's just always true. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is highlighting that this is a day and hour where we really need to be proactive, to be anchored to the hope that we have in Jesus. And that's what Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, that we have this hope, speaking of our hope, the promises of God through Jesus Christ, as an anchor for our soul. So that's good news, right? But here's what that also implies, is that there's going to be a tendency for our soul to drift, that there are going to be some storms that are going to require us to be anchored to our faith. So I want to encourage you with that today, but before we do, let's pray and let's invite the Lord to speak to us individually and collectively. I'll pray corporately, but right where you sit, would you activate your faith? Would you begin to ask the Lord to speak to you uniquely and specifically for what it is that God is doing in your life, for what he's leading you to, for what he's leading you through, that he would speak to you today? So, Father, that's our prayer. Would you come and would you speak, Lord, to your people? Lord, we don't take for granted the opportunity to be gathered as your people in your house, in your presence, and now, Lord, to open up our hearts to receive from your promises that are found within your word. Lord, I lift up every man, every woman, every marriage, every young adult, everyone who's under the sound of my voice, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would use an imperfect message, an imperfect person, to reveal in a greater measure the heart and the plans and the purposes of a perfect father towards every one of these precious people, your sons, your daughters, Lord, who have a hope-filled future in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that you are able to use one message to speak uniquely and individually to every situation and every circumstance. And Lord, people who are here, who are hurting or weak or weary or wounded in any area, any form, any fashion, Lord, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, God, we thank you, Lord, that today you would bring healing, hope, freedom, strength, courage, fresh faith for the good future that every one of us has. In Jesus' mighty, holy, powerful name, if you'll receive any or all that for yourself, give the Lord a big amen. All right, so Acts chapter 27, and to set the scene, Paul, who once was Saul, has been radically transformed by an encounter with God. And now he's being used mightily of God to encourage and strengthen the early disciples, the New Testament church. In fact, the letters that he is writing to encourage those early churches will become a third of the New Testament that you and I now are blessed to call God's word. But in spite of this, now Paul finds himself imprisoned and being delivered to stand trial before Caesar, not just in spite of his faith, but on account of his faith. And so he's on a ship and he's being sent to stand trial before Caesar. That's where we pick up the story in verse 4 of Acts chapter 27. And it says this, putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. And so if you're experiencing opposition or resistance in any area of your life, listen in. God wants to encourage you through this today. And it says in verse 7, we had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. And it says we struggled along the coast with great difficulty. You see a theme emerging here. Opposition, difficulty, delay. And it says that finally they arrived at Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. And it says we had lost a lot of time. How many of you know that God is able to make up lost time? And there are no lost causes. It's never too late to get right with God and begin to do the right thing with God. And it says, verse 13, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, verse 14, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. It says the ship was caught by the storm, could not head into the wind. Watch what it says they did. So they gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. In other words, they found themselves drifting. Several years ago, I preached a whole series. In fact, it was 2020. I remember because it was in the middle of the pandemic. And I think I might have been preaching to an empty room here just for a few weeks. And I was telling a story that had literally happened to me just a few weeks before where the Lord used a real practical circumstance to speak a deep spiritual truth. And one of the things I like to do is fish. I like to get out on Clinton Lake. It's where many of the messages that God gives me to come and bring and encourage you with, I hear from the Lord as I'm out just by myself, getting away from the hustle and bustle, getting away from the busyness of the office and just seeking God, praying and hearing what he has to say. And so I was out there that day and I was fishing and I caught a big one, right? At least I thought I had, and I fought it and I reeled it in, and about halfway through I could tell, I'm not sure this is a big fish. And sure enough, it was a big log. And I got the big log in. It was a lake record, you know. And I got it in, and what happened was, because it was just kind of chaotic, it tangled up all my lines, and my trolling motor ran out of batteries. The wind kind of all at the same time, simultaneously, kind of picked up a stiff south wind that blew my boat up against the rocks on the north shoreline. And so the Lord began to just, as I realized, like I had become distracted by trying to kind of fix the lines and everything. And I thought I had a big fish and I didn't. And so I was disappointed. I was discouraged. And so the Lord just began to speak to me about how easy it is to begin to drift in seasons where you're distracted, discouraged, or disappointed. And the Lord began to challenge me how important it is to be anchored, to be intentional, to be purposeful in our lives of faith, because you rarely will drift to your desired destination. And the spiritual winds that are blowing in the world today are not blowing towards God. And so if we allow ourselves, again, in seasons of distraction or disappointment, or discouragement. I experienced all three of those things in a relatively trivial way. And many of you are experiencing those things in manners and matters that are much more significant to your heart and to God's heart. But in that season of distraction, disappointment, and discouragement, I drifted to a dangerous place. And it's what happens in our life. You don't wake up addicted overnight or divorced overnight. You drift to that condition. And so in this season, God is calling us to become anchored to the hope that we have in Jesus. And so where have you been distracted, disappointed, or discouraged? Listen, in places where you've been disappointed, God's coming today to remind you through my voice that you're still standing. In places where you've been disappointed by delay, God comes to remind you that his promises are still yes and amen towards you. And that divine delay is oftentimes God's protection and his better planned connection. Where have you been discouraged? Today, my prayer for you is that through this message, that the Holy Spirit will fill your sails with a fresh wind, that he will touch your heart with a fresh fire. Where you've been drifting, it's my heart's desire, my hope, and my prayer that today God would call you, man of God, back to a place of passion and purpose. That he would break you free from the chains of complacency and lukewarm Christianity into a place where your heart is once again on fire for Christ, and where there once again is a life of purpose, priority, and pursuit, where maybe you've been drifting casually or carelessly, being tossed to and fro by the winds of this world. And again, the winds of this world are not blowing towards the purposes of God. If anything, they're blowing away from God more and more in this day and hour, increasingly opposing and minimizing the role of God and his word in our lives. And so God's calling us to this, to be anchored. And we read on in verse 18, it says, "We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard." And it just spoke to me that some of you, your spiritual ship is at risk of sinking because of heavy burdens that you are carrying that do not belong to you. And that today, that maybe there's some things that God is calling you to recognize and realize you've been holding on to, that you've been trying to get with you to the other side of the spiritual journey and destination that God has for you. And where they are doing this in the practical sense, realizing our ship is going down if we don't lighten our load. That today God is calling you to take him up on his word that says, cast your cares. Cast your anxieties, your fears, your worries, your doubts. Cast them at his feet, the Bible says, because he cares for you. So they began to lighten their load, but the storm continued to rage. In verse 27, it says, "On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. when about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. That was a good thing. Verse 29, fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, that's a bad thing. They dropped four anchors. Some would say four anchors. They dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. And I want to talk to you today using this story to kind of frame it about four anchors. I look for a way to preach this message to you in some form or fashion multiple times throughout the year because I sincerely and truly believe that these four things, there's a lot of things we can focus on. There's a lot of things we can emphasize. There are a lot of things that are critically important to our lives of faith. But I truly believe that if you'll focus on these four things, it's the foundation. It's the platform. Think about them as legs on a table of a life of faith. These four things to emphasize, to focus on, to pursue, to prioritize. God's presence, God's promises, which are found in His Word, God's people, and God's purposes for your life. God's presence. We've got to be a people that begin to pursue God's presence. This is about committing ourselves beyond Sundays and Wednesdays to live a life of prayer and praise. To in the challenging storms of life, hit our knees in prayer and look to God. And in the moments where we don't feel like it, begin to lift our hands in praise to God. It's time to be anchored to God's presence. You know, I recently got a new vehicle, and in that vehicle, there's a radio that offered a free subscription to a satellite radio service. And so right now, I have hundreds of channels, sports channels, country channels, rap channels, everything that you could possibly imagine. And that's in addition to all the AM radio stations and FM radio stations that are also on the radio of that vehicle. And so all those frequencies are continually available. All those frequencies actually right now are in this room with you and I. And so God, it's in the same way, God is everywhere. He's always with you. He's always with you. A lifestyle of committed prayer and worship tunes the frequency of your heart to recognize and realize a greater manifestation of His presence in your life. He's always with you. But when we make an intentional decision to hit our knees in prayer or lift our hands in praise, the Bible says that God is enthroned on the praises of His people. When we begin to praise God in the middle of the storm, when we begin to seek God in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the trial, it tunes our spiritual heart to hear the frequency that God is speaking on. And how many of you know there's a lot of noise in the world today? There's a lot of frequencies that you can't afford to listen to for very long. Frequencies that will cause for you to experience doubt, frequencies that would cause for you to experience fear, anxiety, worry about the future for your life, for your children. And maybe even you could maybe even say that would be justified based on some real challenges and some real concerning things that are going on in our culture. But I'm telling you today that you're going to have to make a decision to be anchored in those places where there really are some real things. You're going to have to decide, I can't do this in my own strength, but God can still move. So I'm going to begin to pray for my nation, pray for my city, pray for the next generation. I'm going to begin to praise God even in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the storm. When we commit ourselves to praise and prayer, it tunes the frequency of our heart to hear from God. How many of you know that's what we need to do in this day and hour? You can't afford to be listening to all those voices, foreboding voices of fear and doubt and worry and anxiety. Look at your neighbor and tell him to change the station. Be careful what you're listening to and who you're listening to. And I promise you that there's a frequency that you could begin to discover where you'll begin to hear the voice of God, the heart of God, the hope of God, receive the strength of God. What is He speaking over your life? Begin to tune into what He has to say. In good times and in hard times, I love that Hebrews 4 verse 16 says this, Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. The New Living Translation of the same verse says it this way, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we receive His mercy and we find grace to help us when we need it most. Do you know that when you deserve God the least is when you need Him the most? And do you know that that is exactly the moment and the time where the enemy of your soul will come against your heart and your mind and tell you who are you, that you are unworthy to go into the presence of God? And right here, he disarms that lie and he calls that out as deception when he says, you can come boldly. You don't have to come sheepishly because of the blood of Jesus, because that veil was torn, because now your heart is connected to God forevermore because of what Jesus made possible for you. You don't have to come awkwardly or sheepishly. You can come boldly to the throne of grace, and not just on your good days, but when you need it most. Come on, who's grateful for a God who says, come to me, even when you're in a dark place, when you're in a depressed place, when you're in a place of doubting, when you're in a place of fear, worry, and anxiety. He says, that's the very moment where you need me the most. Come into my presence and receive grace and find mercy and help in the time of need. I love what Ezekiel chapter 46 says. And it's talking about the call to people coming into God's presence. Watch this. This is really cool. In verse 9, it says, when the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord. This is about experiencing God's presence, right? When the people come in the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, let's just, when you come in the north door, when you come to church, that's what this is saying, all right? Watch what this is. It says, they must leave the south gateway. Those who entered through the south gateway must leave by the north gateway. They must never leave by the same gateway they came in, but must always use the opposite gateway. So it's speaking of a practical thing that now speaks to us spiritually. And here's what it speaks. It doesn't matter how you come in here. You might come in here weighed down, fearful, worrisome. You might come in here heavy laden. You're going out different if you encounter the presence of God. It says you're going to come in one way, and when you encounter the presence of God, because that's the context here, you leave differently. And I don't know about you, but I know there's been times in my life where I look up and I realize I need to get in the presence of God. I'm weighed down. I'm dealing with fear. I'm dealing with regret. I'm dealing with anxiety. Get in the presence of God. You, whatever way you come in, he says right here, when you encounter my presence, you're going to leave differently. He says, I'll give you a garment of praise in exchange for a spirit of heaviness. But we have to be anchored to a lifestyle of prayer and praise that causes us to encounter God's presence in good times and in hard times. Number two, we need to be anchored to God's promises, to God's word. In a culture where there are increasing opinions, ideas, and thoughts about how to do life, how to do marriage, how to handle money, how to handle and steward sexuality, there's a book called the Bible that is the living word of God that we need to be anchored to what he has to say about our lives, about our minds, about our hearts, about our futures. Joshua 1:8 says this, study the book of instruction continually, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Your translation might say, only then will you have good success. And he says, meditate on it day and night. And you might say, well, Pastor T, that I don't know about that meditation stuff. That sounds kind of new agey or worldly. I'm telling you, you're meditating on something. What's the thing that you're thinking about that's keeping you up in the middle of the night? I promise you, you're meditating about something. And maybe now would be a good time to, instead of meditating about the concern, about the diagnosis, about the mountain of debt, about the strife in the relationship, about the child that's far from God, maybe you ought to find a promise from God in his word and begin to meditate on that. And begin to claim it and begin to live it out. We in this time need to be anchored to God's promises, which are found in his word. It's the bread of life. It's living water. It's sharp and alive. It's active. And some of us are spiritually weak or anemic because we are consuming more of what the world has to say and what the world has to offer than what God's word has said and in finality about who we are and who God is towards us. We've got to be anchored. It's why as a church, we know there's a jillion places where you could go and find daily devotional content. But as a church, we decided we were going to do our part to begin to encourage you guys. And if you haven't already, go and download that Rev City app. Set up your notifications every morning for whatever time, or in the evening if you want to do it in the evening. And every day we are sending a 2 to 3 minute devotional into your life that points to a promise in God's word, that reminds you of what God has to say about you, or brings a revelation to your life straight from the heart and the vision and the spirit and the values of Rev City Church. We've got to be anchored to God's word. When the storms begin to rage, when the winds begin to blow, when the seas begin to rise, I'm telling you, there's a word from God that you can have for your heart, your home, your marriage, and your family that will anchor you to the future that you have in him. Number three, we got to be anchored to God's people, God's presence, God's promises, and God's people. We were created for relationships with God and with others. The heart of the gospel is relationship restored with God and with others. Jesus didn't come and die to build a denomination or an organization. Nothing wrong with those things. He came to rescue and restore sons and daughters back into fellowship and relationship with our Heavenly Father, the relationship that once was broken because of our own pride, sin, and rebellion. That's been healed, and our relationship is restored. Have you ever thought about this? Adam was in the garden, and even before sin, he was enjoying perfect, unbridled, unbroken relationship with God, and God still said it's not good for him to be alone. So this is, there's power, there's promise, there's potential, and inevitably part of your destiny is connected to pursuing relationship with God and with others. So it fits in the category of things that I share it this way often. Anywhere in God's kingdom where there's power, potential, or promise, you can just predetermine to expect opposition. And so in relationships, there's going to be opposition. Revelation 12 describes the enemy of your soul as the accuser of the brethren. He's always looking to introduce misunderstandings and disagreements, doubt and division into relationships. And the more power, promise, and potential there is tied in that relationship, the bigger the target is going to be on the back of that relationship. The relationship you have with the sweet checker lady at Walmart, if you can find someone to check your groceries over there. I'm sorry about that. The enemy's probably not working overtime to try to bring division into that relationship. But you better watch out when it comes to your spouse, your pastor, your church, someone strategic that God has introduced into your life that's part of connecting you to the destiny that God has for your life. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to bring abundant life. So his goal, the enemy's goal, is destruction. And his strategy is division. And he looks to introduce stress and strife and little misunderstandings that, if unchecked and unforgiven and undealt with, become tomorrow's resentment, which becomes the next day's bitterness, which becomes the next day's isolation, separation, division, and divorce. And unfortunately, because the enemy is so strategic about this, he goes after those more strategic relationships. Unfortunately, what that means, and I'll just point to myself, and if the shoe fits for you, wear it, all right? Unfortunately for me, here's what that means in my life. The people that are most important to me oftentimes get the worst version of me. I'm gonna say that again. The people, because the enemy is so strategic at the way he introduces stress and strife and disagreement and fussing and fighting in relationships that have more power, promise, and potential, the people that are most important to me oftentimes, unfortunately, get the worst version of me. There's a version of me that's impatient, that's rash, that's angry, that is discouraged, that you have not met, that my wife is very familiar with. Thanks, babe. She said I love you right over there. In spite of me. The people that are most important to me oftentimes see the worst version of me. So is it that I'm just out of control? No, because I come here on Sunday mornings and I'm able to kind of keep that in check, right? When I'm around you guys. So the enemy, his goal is destruction. His strategy is division. Let's begin to ask the Lord by his Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to give us self-control, to give us discernment, to give us insight, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear whenever that's operating. Because the Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, your spouse is not your problem. So don't let yourself be convinced that they are. Understand that there's a spiritual realm and there's a spiritual battle and there are spiritual weapons that are found by being in God's presence, being a person of praise, being a person of prayer, being a person of God's promise that will that will prepare and position you to enjoy and experience healthy relationships. Not perfect relationships. Every relationship is going to have challenges and obstacles, but will position you to experience it. And here's the thing is, God has a way of putting us into positions that require us to desperately require Him. I can't love you the way that I'm called to love you without God in my life. And it's really true. Like you could be doing all right with God, and then God blesses you with a spouse, and you get married, and marriage is like a full-length mirror, and it's not flattering. And you realize, like, man, I just got married, I was good. And now I realize I need Jesus bad. And then you get kind of going in marriage and you realize, hey, we're doing pretty good. God's seeing us through. And then you have kids and you realize, I need Jesus. And then your kids become teenagers and you say, Lord Jesus, come now. God has a way of putting us in positions that desperately require us to desperately need Him. Many of the fruits of the Spirit and attributes of God that He calls me to live out, I can't even live out if I don't have other people in my life. I wouldn't need self-control if not for you guys. I wouldn't need to extend forgiveness if not for other people in my life. How could I really even fully express love if there wasn't someone on the other end? He calls us to relationships. And so because there's such a strategic battle over this, many of us have experienced rejection. Many of us have experienced pain in relationships, and it causes us to shrink back. It causes us to hold back. It causes us to build walls around our hearts. And God is calling us to be anchored to His people. God is calling us to live open-hearted and open-handed. He's called us to live in relationship with Him and with one another. Mark chapter 2 is a beautiful picture of what it looks like to live in relationship with one another in spite of our weaknesses and our brokenness. And it says this in verse 1. It says, again, he, speaking of Jesus, entered Capernaum. After some days, it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And Jesus preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Interesting, we're talking about these four anchors. And right here, we see four friends. And it says, when they could not come near to Jesus because of the crowd, there's a sermon right there just in that one verse. It says they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, come on, breakthrough's coming for someone today. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes who were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts said, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you? Or say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. All were amazed, glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. And I don't know about you, but I need some friends who will carry me, because here's what we realize and recognize. This is talking about a man who is physically paralyzed, but many of us can get stuck spiritually in certain seasons or areas of our life. We encounter something and now we're no longer moving forward. Something that we stepped out to do didn't go the way that we hoped or thought it would, and now we're paralyzed in that area of our life. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today to come and say, God still has a plan. Keep dreaming, keep moving, keep marching, keep trusting, keep praying, keep believing. Don't let a season of distraction, disappointment, or discouragement put you on the sidelines of moving forward towards the purposes of God for your life. I'm grateful that I've got friends like that in my life. And it's the kind of friends we need, and it's the kind of friends that we are called to be. I'm so grateful for this man, that those four friends, they got there and there was no room. They couldn't get close. I think they probably had every excuse to just say, well, we tried, we're going home. But they persevered. And the Bible says that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it's the kind of friends that God's calling us to need and to be and become. Aren't you thankful for that man's sake that they were not willing to shrink back because of the crowd? They climbed, they scaled that house, they tore that roof off that place. They said, our friend is stuck in life, and I know the only thing that's going to get him or her unstuck is getting him in the presence of Jesus. The company you keep matters. You show me the people that are closest to you, and I can, with relative accuracy, predict the course and direction of your life. And this is true for everyone, but young people, young adults, you guys listen up on this. This is really important. Do not be deceived, 1 Corinthians 15. Bad company corrupts good morals. I think it's interesting that it says do not be deceived. I think what that implies is that God is saying, hey, many have tried and few have succeeded. To say, I'm going to kind of dabble with these people over here, and then I'm going to go to youth group on Sunday night. I'm going to live kind of with one foot in this crowd over here, and then I'm going to live over here like this. And maybe some of you, even as grown adults, you realize that you're kind of at risk of being in that camp as well. You got your church face and your church friends, and then you got your Monday through Friday face and your Monday through Friday friends. Proverbs 13 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And I want to ask you this question again. Listen to this. Are your friends more connected with your history or your destiny? And now is the moment in time to say, I'm called to relationship, yes, with God, but also with the people of God. And I am going to press into relationship with people who are chasing after God, because God's called you to soar. He's called you to soar. And it's hard to soar with the eagles when you're clucking around with a bunch of turkeys. And some of you are just a few decisions as it regards your closest friends away. And this is applicable, by the way, not just to young adults, but this is applicable in marriage. Man, marriages that endure and persevere, and my heart breaks for people. I mean, there are in this room, no doubt, because the percentages in our culture are so high, there are many people in this room and under the sound of my voice who have experienced the pain of divorce. Marriages that make it through, that persevere, are not marriages that don't experience problems. They're marriages that determine to stay the course. And I'm just telling you, one of the one of the greatest things that you could do is surround yourself with friends as couples who are equally committed to and determined to persevere towards God's purposes and plans for their marriage. We got to be connected, anchored to God's presence, God's promises, God's people. Lastly, I'll close right here, God's purposes. You were created and you were saved and you were called to a life of purpose. In the similar way that because of pain in relationships, unexpected things, things that didn't go the way that we thought they were going to go, we can kind of recoil or shrink back from the call to live in relationships. The same thing happens in the life of purpose. We step out and we try to serve, or we try to do, or we try to commit to something, and maybe it doesn't go the way that we thought it would or that we wanted it to. And so we also find ourselves on the sideline of God's purposes for our life. And today I'm coming to call you and challenge you and encourage you to become anchored to the purposes of God for your life. Romans 8 verse 28 says it this way: we know God causes everything to work together for the good. How many of you could use God working some things together for the good in your life? Well, watch who this promise is extended to. To those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So he says, I'm working things out for you, but keep loving me and keep serving me. Keep loving me and keep serving me. And loving God and serving people are forever intertwined. You remember when Jesus came to Peter and he said, do you love me, Peter? Remember what Peter said? He said, you know I love you. Remember what Jesus said? Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Third time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my lambs. If you love God, there's a purpose, there's a place, there's an area of service, of making a difference, That's what this is about, leaving a legacy, living for something that's bigger than what you could accomplish in your own strength. And did you know you can't avoid it? You are leaving a legacy. Every one of us, it's inescapable. Each of us is leaving a legacy. You can't avoid it, but the choice is, the opportunity that lies before you is, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? I preached a series about this a few years ago. One of the first things I did is I looked up the word legacy, and I was astounded and I was concerned. And then I thought, you know what? The culture that exists that caused for this to be the definition that's listed is what it is. And it caused me to just realize, man, maybe this is one of the reasons that our culture is in the condition that it's in. Because here's the definition for that word legacy that I found: an amount of money left to someone in a will. And I thought, good Lord, we're in trouble if that's all that we see legacy as. It includes that, but it's way beyond. You can leave their hands full and their hearts empty and broken. Legacy is less about what you leave for someone, and it's more about what you leave in someone, in their hearts, in their minds. And we get the decision, we get the opportunity to say, I'm going to be anchored as a man, as a father, as a husband. I'm going to be anchored as a servant of God. I'm not going to allow the distractions and the discouragement and the disappointment to cause me to lose, to be drifting from my life's purpose. And in a world that is concerned and, dare I say, consumed with status and with success as the world would define it, God is calling you to a life of significance, and there's nothing more significant than discovering and fulfilling his purposes for your life. Someone ought to say amen. You might say, well, Pastor T, that's good for you, that's good for my neighbor, but if you knew me, if you knew what I've been through, what I'm going through, what I've done, where I've been, and man, if that's you, let me just tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. And all you have to do to know that's true is just open this book and just read about how almost every person that God used went through that season of stumbling in darkness, committed the crime, committed the sin, but was willing to turn their real problems and real sin to a real God who offers real forgiveness, real hope, and a real future. There are no lost causes in God's kingdom. It's never too dark. You're never too far gone for God to do something in and through you. Would you stand to your feet this morning, and as you stand, or this afternoon, and as you stand, would you do what's become our custom? Would you ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you speaking to me? And then would you just give him some space to speak to you? And while you're listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking uniquely and individually to you, I just felt the Lord prompt me to go back to where we started with people who are here today, and you saw an opportunity and you stepped out, and now you're experiencing fierce opposition. The winds of opposition are blowing against your life, your marriage, your business, your finances, your health, whatever it is. And today I just felt the Holy Spirit call us back to that place where we started in Acts chapter 27. And just partner with his Spirit and lend my voice to pray for and to speak and declare over people who are in a season of opposition. You're on the brink of calling it quits and whatever it is that's being opposed. A marriage, a dream, a hope. And I come today to speak and declare right now that the Lord would come and bring fresh wind in your sails that would begin to propel you forward once again, that would call you and cause you to stay the course. Where you're tempted to begin to just give up and begin drifting to a dangerous place, that today there would be that fresh wind and that fresh fire that would fill your sails and burn in your heart to cause you to once again begin to pursue what God has for you. So if that's you, here's what I want to ask you to do. I don't ask you to do this often, but would you just lift your hands like this before the Lord? It's a powerful posture that just acknowledges, activates our faith. It presents that situation or circumstance that's being opposed, and it prepares us to receive from God all in one motion. Thank you, Lord, that nothing's impossible. You are more than able to restore broken relationships, to renew faith and hope and courage and strength for the future that every one of us has in you. Thank you, Lord, right now, just a fresh baptism, a fresh filling, a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit, a fresh measure of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Would you just breathe on people right now, Lord? Would you just bring life to people right now, Lord? Would you, Lord, once again, would you just bring a fresh wind in the sails, Lord, spiritually speaking, Lord, and just cause for there to be forward motion right now, a fresh fire in the hearts of men, God, fresh fire, Lord, to begin to burn, a flame, Lord, rekindled, God, in the hearts of the men of God, Lord, who have been drifting, God, that they would begin to run with intentionality, Lord, that they would begin to prioritize, Lord, your presence, your promises, your people, your purposes, God, today. In Jesus' name.
There are ways and weights that we need to shift in this season. My translation in my Bible said they threw the tackle overboard. And I looked up the definition of tackle, and it has to do with maintenance of a boat and hoisting things. And as Thomas is praying about God filling our sails, I just feel like the Lord told me to come up here and say, there's some of us here that are about to throw your tackle. The thing that's gonna hoist your sail up, because you don't think that you're gonna sail again, and he doesn't want you to throw your tackle. There's other weights he wants you to throw, but not your tackle. So I don't know who that word is for. I believe it's for many of us, but I just want to pray and agree with what Thomas just prayed over about hope in this season. Hope in this season. Lord, I just lift up my church family to you, my brothers and my sisters. God, I ask that you would fill us with hope today. I thank you in Jesus' name. There will be a season where our sails will be filled and the sun will be shining and our hope will be restored, God. And we put our faith and our trust in you, knowing that that will happen. So God, I just thank you for this season. Lord, I thank you for what you're speaking to us today. May we leave today with our heads held a little higher, with our faith in our hearts a little stronger, and with our confidence in you even deeper, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, let's worship the Lord one more time together today. Would you go live this out this week? What's it look like? Tune in to the frequency of what God's saying in the midst of all the noise and all the clutter, all the other voices, all the other frequencies. Be found in God's presence through prayer and praise. Be found in God's promises that are found in his word. Connect to God's people. Be that friend that helps someone get unstuck this week, and know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Go pursue it and prioritize it. Just watch what God's gonna do. Hey, let's worship the Lord one more time. Can we just give the Lord a round of applause and a clap of praise today? Hey, we love you. We're praying for you. We're praying for you.